You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Hey, last week Christian preached a message, Love Your Life in the Detours. What a great message. What a great message, right? Yeah, give the Lord a hand for giving you that word last week. Love your life in the detours. And what's funny is it was an off-topic week. You know, we in our church, sometimes we go off-topic. That's when we have a sermon that's not connected to the sermon series. So it itself was a detour. Hey, man. And then and God just wants to talk to you about loving your life no matter what happens. What a great word. Really appreciate that we have such a wonderful team here at Eternity Church. So when I'm on vacation, God moves. Right? God moves. Souls get saved, lives transformed at the altar, and a great message. So God bless you. Christian, appreciate you. I was in church last week because I just wasn't here. We were on vacation. And when the Newman family's on vacation, we go to church because we don't take a vacation from God and his house. We just take a vacation, right? And I want to encourage you, be in church. Even when you're on vacation, it's a great opportunity to either be inspired by what other people are doing or reminded how good what God's doing here is. Either way, it's awesome. You should do it. Sound good? And the week before that, I started the fruit and veg series. It's a two-week series. So it was 2 weeks ago and today. And it's a sermon series on finance because if a church doesn't talk to you about your finances, they're neglecting to talk to you about one of the top three mentioned topics in the whole Word of God. Yeah? Imagine that. Like, there's three main topics in the Word of God, and we're like, you know what? We're just not going to talk about that one because people get uncomfortable when you talk to them about religion and finances, especially the two of them together, right? And but finances are interwoven through every single area of your life. Everything. The seat you're sitting on costs money. The jeans that are touching it or the skirt that you're wearing costs money. Your underwear costs money. Come on. Every single thing that you're wearing costs money. Finances are woven through every area of your life. And we better, as pastors and ministers, take the time to overcome any uncomfortableness and talk to you about what God's plans are for your finances. Don't you reckon that's a good point? Yeah. And so if you're sitting here and you're like, no, I came to one of the four sermons every year that they talk about finance. It's only four and I got that one. I want to tell you, you are blessed to come and hear about this sermon because we only do this three or four times a year, all right? But God is all about caring about your finances, amen? And so today we're talking about that. We're closing out the fruit and veg sermon series. Like I said, we started it 2 weeks ago, and I'd like to show you a bit of a clip from that sermon series. It'll be up here on the screen, and just to set this week up for you. So here it is. Look, see, this is what God has given me. This is what I'm giving God back. God has given me. God wants this 1/10 back. There we go, God. I love cauliflower. It's great with cheese sauce. I'm giving you the first cauliflower. I'm giving God his cauliflower before I give the IRS any cauliflower. You hear what I'm saying? I'm giving you my first bunch, God, and I'm going to trust that you'll protect the rest of my stuff because I honored you with the first fruit of my life. Come on now. Is that good? Let's be the people that honor God with the little that he asked for and trust him to protect the rest. I want to tell you what, if you honor God and trust God, I guarantee the 90 will last longer and go further than the 100 ever could. Praise him if you believe that. You believe that? And our treasure will testify to the nations like in Malachi that God is good, that God is for us, that he's not against us, that he's protecting us, and that he's multiplying us. Our treasure will say, God is good, God is great, God is on our side. Our treasure will testify that we are righteous with the lot or the little that God has given us. Whether you feel like you have a lot or a little, God wants to protect and bless you and yours. Look at that pile. Who wants a righteous, protected, God-blessed pile like that? There you go. Come on. Sometimes, like, I'm standing there and I'm like, is it weird that I want to amen my own sermon right there? right? Is that weird or is that all right? Come on. I know a guy who every single week, what he does is he records his sermon live, right? He just records it on stage with his staff in the audience. He's got like 300 staff, so you know. And then he sits down in the front row of every service and amens his own sermon. And I'm like, that is confidence with a capital C, isn't it? Come on now. But hey, the word of God is good, isn't it? And you see, that massive pile of fruit, that was all God asked for, right? You see, that cauliflower was coming on in. And as the people were bringing me my income, were bringing me the fruit of my labor, I took the very first cauliflower and I gave it to God. I gave it to God. And then I got the other nine. And then I gave God my very first bunch of bananas, and I got to keep the other nine, and so on and so forth. And then this is what God asked for from me. See, everything I have comes from God. This is what God asks for from me. And this is what I get back. And it comes back here as well. That is a big cabbage. That's going to make a lot of sauerkraut. Come on. And I get all that. Isn't that neat? Like, really, is God asking a lot from us? It's not a lot, is it? Come on. He's not asking a lot. He's asking us to be wise stewards, to trust Him, and to keep His church and His mission well-resourced on earth. Because everything that we have comes from God. Everything. And all I am is a steward of what God has trusted me with. It's like my kids. My kids are God's. I am a steward of my kids. They're God's kids first, and He's trusted me to raise them and to teach them about the wonder and the goodness and the Savior of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm a steward of my family, and I'm a steward of my wealth. Every good thing comes from God, Scripture says. In fact, verbatim, it says, every good thing comes from the Father of heavenly lights. I love that description. I love it. The Father of heavenly lights. See, as he's talking about good things coming from God, he describes God with a reminder that even the lights in the sky are gifts from God. Isn't that neat? And all he wants from us in return is 10%. Now, as you see on those two tables, I've got to pick a table. That's a neat table to get, right? Turn with me to James chapter 5. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you trust us to steward not just the finances, but God, to steward your mission. God, you have entrusted your mission to humans, to us on earth. And God, we just want to honor you. We just want to receive all that you have for us and do all that you've called us to do. God, today I ask you to speak through me. Give me boldness and clarity and help me to preach your word in a way that people will receive and it will transform their lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so it says here in James chapter 5, it starts with, now listen, you rich people. And what you got to understand, it's not talking about, now listen, Jed, you rich guy. It's not like talking about specifically people in this room. It's talking about those particular rich people that he wrote the letter to that were in front of him and were messing up and doing a bad thing. So it's not saying, hey, rich people, y'all are a bunch of sinful jerks. It's saying, hey, you rich people who happen to be sinful jerks, all right? Those guys are the ones that it's talking about. We're not an anti-rich church. We're not an anti-poor church. We aren't like, hey, being rich is evil. Who knows? It's not, right? Like it's not even wrong to want to be rich. It's wrong to want to be rich more than you want to be godly. It's wrong to want money more than you want God. It's wrong to love money more than you love people. Come on now, that's wrong. But it's not wrong to want to have wealth. There's nothing wrong with it. In fact, it's weird to want the opposite. I hope that my life is just riddled with poverty. It's a weird thing to say, isn't it? You know, like, I hope that I get sick every day. I hope that the flu that's going around just catches me. Like it's weird to want the negative. There's nothing wrong with wanting the positive. There's something wrong with making that more important than God, God's mission, and God's people. Amen. So now in that context, listen up. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. Your wealth is rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded and their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded the wealth in the last days. Look, The wages that you failed to pay the workers who mowed your field are crying out against you. Check it out. Hey, not only are the workers crying out against them, but the wealth that they hoarded and stole from the workers, it is crying out and testifying against them. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord God Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered innocent people who were not even opposing you. You don't want God to send somebody to say that to you, do you? Now, this is an interesting scripture because it's like the reverse of what God said 300 or 400 years earlier. See, in Malachi, God is encouraging people in a scripture and in a sermon, so to speak, that will produce the opposite results to what these people are experiencing in James. And Malachi 3 tells us to be generous, to honor God, but in this passage, the people are doing the opposite. They're robbing God, they're abusing people, and so their lives are falling apart. The wealth that they trust in, the wealth that they worship, is causing them grief and pain. They're stingy people, they're stingy to God, they're stingy to people, they're stingy to their workers, their friends, and their families. These people are living for riches and wealth, not God and His kingdom, and so their lives are falling apart. And that's what happens when you live a life like that. Who knows, this is not just a rich people problem, right? Like, I know that rich people are not the only people in the room or in the country that can fall in love with money more than God and people, all right? I know some people who drive Datsun 180Bs. Datsun's was like the Australian old school way of saying Nissan, which is the Australian way of saying Nissan. We took a long way to get there, didn't we, just then? Datsun, Nissan, Nissan, all right? Did you have 180Bs here? They were like old bombs. And I think I found out last night that you don't call rust buckets bombs, do you? And so I'll never say that on a plane. I'll remember that, all right? What type of car do you drive? Just an old bomb. What? You know, but no, in Australia, we call a rust bucket or a clunker. Clunker, that's what you say. Hey, we call clunkers bombs, all right? I know people who drive bombs that love money more than they love God. Yeah? I know people who drive Beamers, that's a BMW, who love money more than they love God. But funny though, I also know people in BMWs and bombs and clunkers that love God more than money. See, honoring God and loving God is not always visible by the cars that someone drives. And we shouldn't look at someone and say, well, they're in a Datsun, so they clearly have a money problem and don't love God. And we shouldn't look at people in Maseratis and say, well, they have a money problem and clearly love cars more than people. We don't know what's in people's hearts. Can I get an amen? And so in this wealthy and Western culture, I want our church to be among those who love and honor God more than the cars we drive, more than the money we store, more than the finances that we steward or the clothes that we wear. Have a nice car or have a clunker. Wear beautiful clothes or whatever you want, but in what you have, let's honor God. Whether you feel like you have a lot or whether you feel like you have a little, no matter what level it is, make sure that you honor God with all that you have. And so what does it mean to honor God? And what does it mean to honor in general? The dictionary's definition of honor simply says to give esteem or highest respect. It literally means to recognize someone or something above others or other things. To recognize them above. So to honor God in your marriage, you would include God, right? You would spend time together with God, with your spouse, like you're doing now in church, together, honoring God, worshiping God, coming to His house, spending time in His presence together, at bedtime or in the morning, asking God to be involved in prayer or in worship, talking about God in your marriage, talking about His Word in your marriage, and recognizing that you actually need God more than your spouse. See, God is number one, and then God will make you the right spouse. God will help you become all that He designed you to be so that you can better love and honor your darling. Does that sound good? And to honor God, we will live in God's design for your marriage. To honor God with your time would mean to give Him some. Imagine me saying to Nathan here, Nathan, I love you, man. I just love you. But every single time he wants to hang out with me, I'm like, sorry, bro, I'm busy. Sorry, bro, I'm busy. Rings me up, hey, something happened to my kids, I need your help. Sorry, bro, I'm actually just watching Seinfeld right now, dude. And, you know, maybe when that's done. Well, that says I love Seinfeld more than Nathan, right? Like, if we love and honor God, we will give him some of our time. Isn't it funny to think about? Do you want your time to be blessed? That's an area of our lives, I think, that many of us have never considered could be blessed. Your time. See, like, we want God to bless us with a nice car, and nothing wrong with that. We want God to bless us with a nice house, and nothing wrong with that. And we want God to bless us with a nice marriage, and nothing wrong with that. But, like, God can bless your time. And anything that you give to God, God gives back a double portion, right? Anything that you honor God in, God honors you in. Anything that you lift God up in, God lifts you up in. And so what if I was to honor God with my time? Would God honor me in my time? Imagine being able to become more fruitful with your time, more influential with your time. Imagine being able to be wiser with your time and steward it better. It starts by giving God some of your time. Get yourself to church, to his house. Every weekend, make him and his house a priority in your time. Just like last week, we were on vacation. We didn't take a vacation from being in God's house. And some people are like, well, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Cool. Did you spend any time with him when you're on vacation? Like, you know, you can say that if you woke up every day at 6 o'clock and you're like spending time with Jesus. But if you didn't do anything, couldn't we just like go to church when we're on vacation, spend some time with God, right? When we're in town, like, I tell you what I'm not doing. We have 3 services every week, Saturday night, 2 on Sunday morning, and we live stream. You can find time to spend time with your spouse and God. You can find time to spend time with God every weekend. Can I get an amen? Some people are like, oh, amen, but that one hurt. Mm-hmm. Come on, is God important to us? Then we make time for him. I would say that in this Western culture, and again, I'm not attacking it. I love it. I live in it. I grew up in it. I'm all about it. Hey, I love it. But in that Western culture that we live in, where we've got sports and kids and talent shows and dance recitals and school, and that was at the bottom of my list, clearly, and school and all these other things, man, I would say we're too busy to not give God some time. I'd say we're too busy to not ask God to bless us and make us better stewards of our time. Amen. There are other areas in our lives that we can honor God as well, like our bodies and our minds. Some people are like, no, let's not have that sermon today, Pastor Jesse. No, 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 no. I know this is the finance sermon series, and we won't get too deep into the mind and the body thing today, but don't you think one day we should preach a sermon about honoring God with your bodies and honoring God with your mind? Who would come to church that week? Anyone who didn't put your hand up, I'm like, man, what, you pick and choose your Sundays, do you? Come on now. We will get onto that one day, but this week we won't, because this week's titled Fruit and Veg. Hang on. That's kind of related, isn't it? Anyway, to honor God in our finances, what do we do? Well, to start with, you should watch last week's podcast and then do that. And last week we talked about tithing and are we robbing God of his portion? Do we tithe? Are we generous? Do we pay people what we promised them? Do we pay people? Hey, last week what happened there? People worked for these guys and then they didn't pay them, right? People worked for them and they did, and the guys weren't paying them. So who's that today? Because some of y'all are like, nobody works for me. I don't know. Mediacom? Yeah? Yeah? Satellite TV? Yeah? Mid-American Energy? Yeah? What, your car payment? What about? Come on, there are people who have worked for us that we promised that we would pay, and then we hold that back, just like the rich people in this story held back the payment for those who worked for them. Well, some people are like, no, 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 please stop. I didn't want to hear this. Last night I said that, and one guy went, it was awesome. It was like a moment. It was really cool. Come on, do we pay people what we promise them? Are we learning to pay our bills on time? Do we give to people in need? Do we have a budget? Do we give to people in need? You know what? I can't stand it when people are like, I'm a tither, that's it. Like tithing, they think, is the destination of generosity. It's not. It's the beginning. It's not that we don't like say, I tithe, so I'm not tipping anybody. I tithe, so I'm not giving the waitress any tips. And like, no, be good to your mother isn't the right sort of tip to the waitress, right? Like I give this to God, and this is the beginning of my generosity. When I go out, I'm not going to tip the waitress 10% because she didn't do a good job. I'm not going to tip the waiter 5% because he didn't do a good job. I'm going to tip them 20% no matter what. That's the starting point for us, because God has blessed me and it overflows and I want to bless them. I tell you what, I am not going to be the guy that tithing is the destination of my generosity. If that's you, you misunderstood it. See, God took everything in the old and made it the beginning in the new. See, like murder was the destination for like bad sin. Now hating people is murder in God, in your heart. Like, come on now, I want to be the guy that I want to tell you, if you can't afford to tip your waitress or your waiter, you can't afford to eat out. Someone say amen quickly. Or y'all just like, oh, this is scary. I'm going to get to the good part soon, all right? I'm going to get to the part that's like fluffy and nice and kind and exciting, all right? You want that now? We got enough of these like barbs now? Are we all good? Everyone okay still? Cool, because this week I'm talking about what God will do when you honor him in your finances. You want to hear that? If you honor God in your finances, he will honor you in your finances. Guaranteed. That's what's going to happen. Any area of your life that you honor God, God will honor you. Any area of your life that you prioritize God, God will prioritize you. Any area of your life that you lift God up in, God will lift you up in. Can I get a amen? So check this out right here. Listen to this chain of events. In the book of James, they robbed God. They robbed people. They were evil. They were dishonest with their finances. And so then their treasure and wealth was rotting and corroding. It says their treasure testified against them. In Malachi chapter 3, we see the very opposite story unfolding. The opposite story. God says, bring your whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord God Almighty. Like I said last week, I'll say it to you again. Why does he say test me here, but everywhere else in the word of God, he says, do not test the Lord your God. Because God knows that this one area is interwoven and threaded through every other area of our lives. And if we'll test God here, we create an opportunity for God to bless all the areas of our lives that this is woven through. Amen. And so God says, don't test me in all this, but test me right here. See if I won't throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. It'll overflow. And I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord God Almighty. And listen to this, then all nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land. In James, their treasure testified against them. In Malachi chapter 3, your treasure testifies for you and tells all nations that you are blessed, that God is good, and yours is a delightful land. Then in the book of Luke, Jesus says the exact same thing. Listen to this. He said, give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and pouring into your lap. Doesn't that sound a lot like what Malachi just said? That I will open the floodgates of heaven on your life so much so there won't be room to store it in your vat. It'll overflow. The same thing. But this wasn't a new theory in chapter Luke, in Luke, was it? For it was written in Malachi. It's not even a new theory in Malachi, for it was prophesied in the book of Isaiah, and Jesus quoted himself. Listen to this very famous and very quoted portion of scripture and see if in it you can find what God is talking about being blessed, about having a double portion, about your treasure overflowing, and about people seeing that you are blessed and honoring God because of it. Listen to this scripture from Isaiah, and I want to tell you, by the way, as I'm reading this, this is the type of church that we want to be, all right? As I'm reading this, I want you to look at it and go, this is the kind of church that we are, that we want to be. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news, to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. We do this every week, don't we? To proclaim freedom for the captives, release of darkness to the prisoners. Come on, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, bestowing upon them a crown of beauty instead of ashes and the oil of joy instead of mourning and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Don't we do that every week? Souls saved every single week and people trading sorrow for joy every single week. I love what God is doing here. Now listen to this. It says, they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord. Who's calling them that? Everybody else. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting for the Lord, for the display of His splendor. They will rebuild ancient ruins and restore places long devastated. They will renew ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd their flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards, and you will be called priests of the Lord. You'll be named ministers of our God, and you will feed on the wealth of nations, and their riches in you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. Instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance, and you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. Remember Malachi started with saying how much he hates being robbed? He says here, for I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people that the Lord has blessed. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people that the Lord has blessed. Everyone in Des Moines is going to look at all of us and they will acknowledge that eternity is a people that the Lord has blessed. Come on, someone say amen if you want that in your life. They were faithful. God was faithful to bless them. He used them to rebuild people's lives. Now, this isn't only talking about finance. This is talking about everything that we're doing for the Lord and His kingdom to restore freedom, hope, joy to those around them. I love that. That's the story of our church too. When people walk in, they immediately can feel the joy of the Lord and something comes on them because it's overflowing in our lives. Amen. He blessed them so much in their faithfulness that all who see them with their eyes acknowledge they're a people that God has blessed. God gave them a double portion. Like Job, who remained faithful in the riches, in the poverty, and then God gave him a double portion, amen? Like those whose cup runs over, a double portion. Like those who honor the Lord with their first fruits, a double portion. Double, 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 double. Come on, touch your neighbor and boldly declare over their lives, double in Jesus' name. Come on, touch him and say, double, double, double. Amen. Double, double, double. We sound like ducks in here. It's time to honor God and ask for double, double, double in Jesus' name. In every area of your life, don't be so foolish that you only ask God to double in your finances. Every area of your life, amen. I want a double portion on my marriage. I want a double portion on my kids. I want a double portion on my ministry. I want a double portion in my finances. I want a double portion in my influence. And I want a double portion in the closeness and the wonder and the joy of my relationship with God, amen. Does anybody in here want a double portion? Yell out amen if you do. Come on, double, 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 double. The Israelites got double. Job got double. Elisha got double. One day I believe with all my heart that you will look back and say, God gave me double that. You'll look at your life and take stock for a moment of pause and say, I remember when my marriage wasn't half as good as it is now. I used to only have one wife. Now I got... No, I'm just kidding. It's not what we're talking about, really. I remember when my marriage wasn't half as good as it is right now. God has given me a double portion, amen? Come on, some of y'all are still stuck on that. I was kidding, all right? I remember when my health wasn't half as good as it is now, I got a double portion, amen. And in just the same way, if you take this godly principle of tithing and honoring God in your finances, one day you will look back and say, I remember when we didn't have half as much as we got right now, I got a double portion. I was talking to somebody last night who can say that exact same thing, that their job is more than doubly as good, their finances more than doubly as good. His understanding in the workplace, more than doubly as good as it was when he started tithing 7 years ago. I remember, you're going to look back and say, I remember when my treasure used to testify against me, but now it testifies to God's goodness in my life. I got a double portion. Does this sound good, church? So when you honor God with your first fruits, right? Like we showed you last week. See, God, you get all this. Man, I love apples, but God, I am not gonna eat your apple. I got my own apples, all right? God, I'm giving this apple to you and your kingdom, you and your mission, amen. And when we do that, God protects our stuff. Scripture's really clear. God will protect your stuff. I guarantee you that your life and your finances and your stuff will be better after you start tithing than it was beforehand, okay? It will be better. It's a godly principle. Not only does it resource the church, I'm not going to deny that. It resources the church. I want our church to overflow with resource, to be a bigger, better, broader blessing, amen? And but God protects your stuff, and you've still got it. But Isaiah says he'll do more than that. Malachi says he'll do more than that. Jesus said he'll do more than that. Paul said that he'll do more than that. God said that he will do more than just protect our stuff. I got all this as a stewarding from God. I gave God that. God protects this, but it says he's going to give me a double portion. It says he's going to overflow. It says I won't have room to store it. And so then God says, double, 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 double. And I started with this. I gave him that. And now I've got all this. Who wants that to happen in their life? Come on now. Look at all that. And it's overflowing. We got cantaloupes on the floor. It's overflowing. It's coming onto a table on the back there. That's what God does. He opens a floodgate of heaven on my life. He gives me a double portion. And it's not too late for you. It's not. Some of y'all in here are like, but I'm 78. You ain't dead. You know how I know? Because you got here today. You got here today. It's not too late for God to give you a double portion. It's not too late for God to bless your life. It's not too late for you to honor God and not just honor God, but be generous to people and to pay your bills. I want to tell you, if you're 78 and let's say you've only got 12 years left to live, I can't imagine what God could do in those 12 years if you start honoring God. Your kids will be like, man, I am so glad that Grandma Joy started honoring God at 78, because now look at the inheritance that I got. Come on now. That's what God, and they love you too, Grandma Joy. They didn't just want the coin, all right? Come on now. This is what God can do for you. Try it. I'm cool with you testing God out in that. Like I said, if you want to start tithing this month and then in 12 months come back and say, you know what, my life's not better, finances aren't better at all, we'll give it back to you in 12 months, all right? Think of it like a savings account, all right? We'll give you an extra $100 for your trouble because I just know God will bless you. He will. God will bless you. Start today and start next week, whatever. Do it for 12 months and then take stock of your life. The day will come when you'll look back at what you've got and what God's done, and it will be double. And then, when you've got that, do it again, and again, and again, and again, and again. I remember one day when I was like, man, I'm sick of being broke. And God's like, well, start tithing. I'm like, all right. So I did. It's amazing how, like, I didn't actually get a pay rise straight away, but immediately things started working better. Immediately, like my bills started getting paid by me. I'm like, why is this money working now? Like, I used to be its slave. Now it's my slave. Like, what? Like, how did this happen? And then I'm like, man, I want to earn more. I remember when God's speaking to me about, you know what? Maybe you should just start tithing on what you wish you were earning. And I'm like, maybe not. So I did. And I was working for a church then too, and they were paying me peanuts, you know. And they were, you know, you pay peanuts, you get monkeys, but they were paying me peanuts. And I'm like, all right, God, you can get 40% of my peanuts now then, whatever. And I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just saying that when God speaks and you honor God, God always responds, amen. And the principle works on everything that you offer God. Anything in your life that you offer God, God will give it back, and it will end up being a double portion. Would you stand up with me, church, as we begin to open the altar for prayer and give people an opportunity to give their lives to Jesus? You know what's great about not being afraid to preach God's word, no matter what the topic is? And I'm no hero, I'm not saying that, but too many people are afraid to tell the truth about what God believes about finances, you know? I don't know if it's because they don't have the faith to believe God will do it, but I just do. I believe God will do everything he says in his word, right? I just do. I've seen it and experienced it too. But you know what's neat about that? When you're boldly preaching God's word, no matter what the topic is, lives get changed. See, some people, some churches, people don't get saved in a year. Last week or 2 weeks ago, I preached on finance, and I think quite boldly, and 19 people gave their lives to Jesus Christ. 19. The word of God is powerful no matter what the topic is. People want God in their lives when you tell them the truth about him, right? And so today, if you don't know Jesus, I want to tell you, whatever you offer God, God will bless and give back to you. Why don't you start by offering him your life? Allow him to bless your life and give it back to you. Scripture says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that you will be saved. It does not say, if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth and change your life. If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth and stop being a stripper. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth and stop being a liar. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth and stop being angry. It doesn't say any of those things. It simply says, if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that you'll be saved. If there's something in your life that's destructive, if there's something in your life that's painful to you, other people, or offensive to God, God will speak to you about that on his timeline, not mine. My timeline of your transformation is fix it all tomorrow. God's is when you're ready, he'll speak to you and help you. And then when God speaks to you, God will give you the strength and the power to have victory. See, when God's in your life, you'll never lose another battle that you submit to him. And so I'm not asking you to stop doing anything wrong. I'm not asking you to stop something, to change something, to be something, to dress a certain way, to talk a certain way. I don't care. All I care about is that you meet Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, who wants to help create in you the life and the plan that he designed for you when he said those words thousands or millions of years ago, whatever you believe, I don't care. When he said those words, let us make mankind in our image. And he thought of you, and he had a plan for you at that moment. Today, will you give him your life, allow him to bless it and give it back? If you do, let him take away your shame and your pain, bless you with joy and hope. Let him take away your brokenness and bless you with godly wholeness. Let him take away your hurt and bless it, give you joy. Right now, repeat these words after me and praying this with your mouth, declaring that Jesus is Lord and you'll be saved. So everyone in the room will do it, so you won't be alone. It's going to be every single person in here. If everyone could repeat after me right now, dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross for my sins. And he rose again to give me life, joy, peace, hope, and everlasting life. Please forgive me for the things that I've done wrong. And help me to be all that you designed me to be. I receive this new life in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise in here.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.